shouts and the big smiles on your face. You all loved that and said, amen, preacher. All right, let's get Diane back up here and let's sing number one, Higher Ground. And if you don't mind, let's stand one more time, okay? Higher Ground, number one, in the Heaven and Highway Hymnal. That's what we're seeking for. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. All right, thank you, Sister Diane. You can be seated and you can remain seated. I'm only going to read four verses this morning out of 1 Kings. This morning, 1 Kings chapter 19 this morning. And we do appreciate your presence today. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verses 1 through verse 4 this morning. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested of himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. It's always a joy, Lord, to be able to be in the Lord's house. We thank you for the freedom that allows it. We thank you for the health that makes it possible. But most of all, we thank you for the desire that makes us willing. And Lord, as we come this morning, we thank you for visitors that you've sent our way today. And Lord, we don't believe that's by accident.
We believe that the Lord orders things and orchestrates things in our life, and we're thankful to have them today. We pray they'll be a blessing. We pray for our folks today, and Lord, those that are faithful to come and they love the church, and pray for it throughout the week, invite others, and we pray, Lord, that they'll get a blessing today. And Father, if there is one lost today, we thank you for the three that were saved, Lord, in the month of October. We thank you for the two that followed you in believer's baptism. And Lord, as has been said this morning, the month's not over yet. And if there's some lost person here today, that the Lord might speak to their heart, do the greatest thing that God could ever do for anybody is make them aware of their condition and the remedy for it. Lord, I ask you to help me to preach this morning, and we'll thank you and give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach on one word today, but it's not in the text. We'll have to go somewhere else to find the word, and we find it over in the Psalms, Psalms 55. And there the psalmist is he's kind of praying to the Lord and seeking the Lord. And in Psalm 55 and verse 1, he said, "Give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come unto me, and horror," here's our word, "hath overwhelmed thee." We find it again in Psalm 142. Again, the psalmist is praying and talking to the Lord. And he said in verse 1, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I shewed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path." The word that we are looking at this morning is that word, overwhelmed. We find that, as I've said, in the Psalms twice. But here in our text today, we don't find the word overwhelmed, but we do find a person that is overwhelmed. His name is Elijah the prophet. And this person provides for us a picture of someone who has been overwhelmed. We are living this morning in a time when a lot of people are overwhelmed. I think the first three or four people that come to the through the door this morning, they told me of situations that, whether they were or not, I know they could have been overwhelming to them this week. And I think we're living in a time when a lot of people are overwhelmed. And I think it might help us today if we were to look at just three things here about Elijah. Elijah, the prophet of God, he finds himself here, and we know by reading the four verses that we've read that this man was overwhelmed by what had come upon him. When we look at this morning, we think about the perilous times that we're living in. Perilous times are overwhelming times. We are constantly fed with a diet of wars and rumors of wars and murders and killing and an evil time. And the world has become like the days of Noah. The earth is filled with violence. And many times when we look at these things, they are overwhelming to you and to me. Many of you have things going on in your family, or just come through some things, or are right now dealing with some things that are overwhelming to you. When we look at that word overwhelming, it just means to be overcome with a situation, or just overpowered by all that's going on around you. And so we want to say this morning, this is not something we make up. This is not something that we just think is that way. But this is a reality. People really do get overwhelmed. And in our text, we find in 1 Kings 19 and 4, we find where that we realize that Elijah is overwhelmed. You say, why? Because of what he says. He says, it is enough. Have you ever had so much going on, one thing right after the other, that you find yourself throwing up your hands and saying, it's enough, Lord. I can't take no more. Well, that means that you are overwhelmed. That's what happened to Elijah. It was a reality. The Bible said that he was so overwhelmed that he sat down under a juniper tree. Now, I'm not sure what a juniper tree is, but I'm sure of this. I've been sitting under one different times in life. Amen. No doubt it's kind of like a willow tree. We look at that as a tree of weeping. So he sat down under this juniper tree. Why did he sit down? He was overwhelmed. He couldn't stand no longer. What he felt over him caused what was under him to give away. And so the overwhelming truth is that it is a reality that sometimes in life that we find ourselves overwhelmed. Amen. Not only is it a reality, but we see that it was a sudden reality. It wasn't something that built up over years and years, but it was something that happened in a day's journey, the Bible said. He made a day's journey, and suddenly he was overwhelmed. A phone call can come, a knock at the door. There are many things, an accident, a hospitalization. There's many things that can happen very suddenly, and we find ourselves that morning we find ourselves on the mountain like Elijah did, but that evening we find ourselves overwhelmed. Isn't it amazing how quick that life can change? Not only is it a sure reality and a sudden reality, but it is a very scary reality. We realize this morning that Elijah arose, and the Bible said he went for his life. In other words, he thought his life was about over. That's scary, amen, to anybody, even to this great prophet of God. I'm telling you, life can be overwhelming. I remember when my mother and father were both in the nursing home, and I was trying to care for my family and trying to pastor the church, and I visited mom or dad. I don't think there was very few weeks that I didn't go every day. And I was trying to take food to them and visit with them and check on them. And me and my sister, Sheila, we basically pretty much had it all because most other kids lived away from here. But doing that year after year after year, I don't think I missed one service in church the whole time. Trying to do the church, trying to care for them, oftentimes getting called at night, oftentimes having to go out there at night or get up out of the bed. I found myself, after several years of that, I found myself parked up by the fellowship hall, sitting in my truck and weeping. You say, why? I was overwhelmed. I said, Lord, it's enough, oh Lord. And my truck was still running, and it's in the wintertime, my truck was still running, the radio was on, 88.3, and there was a song that suddenly come on that I had never heard before. But this song come on, and it's Mark Bishop, and it's called Don't Let This World Get You Down. And while I sit in my truck, all at once the words started coming over the radio, and the chorus said, don't let this world get you down. Don't let it turn you around. Keep your eyes on the road. Lighten your load. You've got such a long, long ways to go. And I knew that God had spoken that song into my heart through the radio. And I sat there and I wept and I wept. And Brother Greg, I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed. But the words of that song, they came to me at the right time. They gave me strength that I needed. They let me know that somebody up there, God up there, Jesus up there, the Holy Spirit within me, it let me know that they knew exactly where I was at, exactly what I was going through. And God was telling me, lighten your load. Start cutting back some things you can cut back on. I couldn't cut back on going to see Mom and Dad in their care. I couldn't cut back on the church and my obligations here. But there were things in my life that I could cut back on. So like Paul, when he got in that storm in Acts 27, they lightened the load. They threw some things overboard that they didn't need right then at that time. But what I'm saying this morning is being overwhelmed is a reality. Amen. I feel like many in this room this morning are overwhelmed at all that is going on in their life. And so we see the reality of being overwhelmed. I think about Jesus. I believe that Jesus, the man Jesus, I believe that even he experienced being overwhelmed. You think about going to Calvary and carrying our sins. Of course, he wanted to do that because he loved us. He was willing to die for us. But the thought of from being old enough to know anything, that you knew that you were going to the cross, you were going to suffer, you were going to die for the sins of the world, you was going to be separated from the Father for a little while. All of that had to be overwhelming for him. And I can read that in Luke 22, where the Bible says he entered into the garden of Gethsemane. I feel like he's gone about as far as he's going to have to go. And the Bible said this, and I like it. The Bible said when he came to the place. In other words, when he came to that place, he didn't fall down, but the Bible said he knelt down and he began to pray. And you know how the angels came and they ministered unto him. And he got strength and God helped him from being overwhelmed when he got to the place and he fell down and he called upon his Father and he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And the Bible said that angels came and ministered unto him. And I like it when it says he arose up. It's like he had the victory. It's like that he had unloaded what he needed to unload. Sometimes when we are overwhelmed, we are carrying a load around that we don't need to be carrying. That's why the Lord said, come unto me, all that weak and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. When we get overwhelmed in life, that's why that we need to come and unload some of it on the Lord. And He'll help us with our load. Amen. But here is a man of God, Elijah, a prophet of God. Elijah, one of the outstanding prophets in the Bible. And yet we find him overwhelmed. Not only the reality of his being overwhelmed, but the reason for his being overwhelmed. You see in verse 2, it said, so Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them tomorrow. That was the start of it. That was the start of him being overwhelmed. It started with a messenger. I think we could say a messenger of Satan, like Paul talked about. Jezebel sent this message to Elijah and basically said, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be like all them prophets you cut up and all them prophets you killed. And so there were several factors that began working in his life, and it always is so. First of all, there was the fear factor. The Bible said, she said, I'm going to take your life. I'm going to kill you. And this great man of God that had so much courage, he stood on the mountain and he resisted the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. And he, by himself alone, except for the help of God, he conquered that. But here he is, this same man that in 1 Kings 17 and verse 13 told the little widow, fear not. This same man that told her, fear not, is fearing himself. Isn't that true? A lot of times, things that we tell others, they come back to haunt us. And a lot of times, and he was right in telling her not to be afraid. He wasn't being presumptuous. He wasn't being proud. He was telling her the truth. Don't be afraid. But the fact is that the greatest of us, we all at times have fear to come in our life. That's why the psalmist said, what time that I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. There was a fear factor. But then I think what played a big part in this, I think there was a fatigue factor. Think about it. This man had been seated by the brook. He went through three and a half years of drought. The brook dried up, and then he went down to the widow's house, and he went down there not knowing how things were going to go. And then God tells him to leave there and go meet Ahab. The man that hates him, the man that's looking for him, the man that's going to kill him, he thought. And this man, after that, goes up on the mountain. And they have an all-day meeting up there. They have a all-day debate, if you will. And they're going to see which God is really God. And so he lets them go first. And you know how they did? They done all they could do. Of course, gods of wood and gods of stone and make-believe gods, they don't answer. And so they were up there cutting themselves and screaming and crying and all of that. And he sat through all of that. And then it was his turn. And he got up and he had them prepare the altar. He had them to put the water on. He had them to do all that had to be done. And then Elijah prayed 63 words and the fire of God fell, the Bible said. But then he left there and he went and got down on his knees and he began to pray that God would send the rain. I don't know if you know this or not, but extended periods of prayer can be very exhausting. And if you're fasting, it can even be more exhausting. The point I'm trying to make, that he's been so busy going here and going there and doing the will of God, he's been so busy that he don't even realize what he's doing to his own body. And so he finds himself in 1 Kings 19 and he is totally, completely exhausted. You say, how do you know that? Because my Bible said he laid down, went to sleep. You don't have any trouble sleeping when you're exhausted. When you're completely wore out, sleep will come pretty easy most of the time. And he was exhausted. And in the world you and I live in, I'm sure you've noticed this. It's a very busy world. I'm sure that you've noticed this, that there's a lot more to cope with and to deal with, and there's a lot more stress involved than there was several years ago. And Daniel got it right. He said they would be running to and fro, and we find ourselves doing that. Jesus got it right, of course, when he said they would be so busy, they'd be eating and drinking and buying and selling, and they would just be busy, busy, busy. You see, being like that, it makes us fatigued. And when we get fatigued, we're easy prey for the devil. when our mind gets wore out, and our body gets wore out, we're easy prey for the devil. But then there was a frame factor. You say, what do you mean? Elijah wasn't a god. You see, God doesn't grow weary. God doesn't need to rest. He don't ever get tired. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. But Elijah wasn't God. And you're not God, and I'm not God. And there is that frame factor. You say, what do you mean? Have you ever went across the bridge and noticed there, just as you went across, it told the weight limit. Said, this is how much this can take. And if you put more than that on there, there's a good possibility it might break down. We see all of us, we can't see it, but we got a weight limit. God knows how much we can take. And though it's been said to not be in the Bible, it's been said to be in the Bible, I think it's somewhat both are true. But God knows our weight limit. We say He won't put no more on us than what we're able to bear. And I it's not in the Bible in so many words, but I believe that's true. But this is the problem. God will not put no more on us than what we're able to bear. But we put more on us than what we're able to bear. We allow others to put more on us than what we're able to bear. And our frame can only take so much. Psalm 39:4 is a verse to mark and remember. You say, what's it say? It says, Lord, help me to know my end. And what it is, and a measure of my days, that I might know how frail that I am. For thou makest my life as a handbreadth, and my age is nothing to thee. He said, Lord, help me to know my end, and what it is, and a measure of my days, and how frail. See, the person in here that's in the best physical shape that they could possibly be in is so frail. So frail. And those of us that are not any specimens to be put in the center page of anybody's magazine, if the one that is frail, think about how frail that we are. It don't take much to break us down. We've got to remember our frame. When we moved into this building before, we were getting it ready. And I had a little S10 pickup truck. And we were trying to go over here at Vance's, and we're getting rock, bring it back over here, putting it around the building where there's rock now, but the different rock. But I was running over there. They were dumping it in my little S10. I bring it over here, and me and somebody spread it out. And the last load I went over there to get, the man said, I hope this will do it, because he said, we're closing in 20 minutes. I said, I got to have one more load. Can't you just stay open 20 more minutes? He said, no, we're closing at 5. Man. I said, well, this time just put 2 scoops in there. So he put 2 scoops in my little S10. I probably couldn't have slid a coffee cup in under the back bumper. The tires were almost flat. And only by the grace of God, I made it over here without the axles breaking. You say, what was you doing? I was overloading the frame of that little S10 truck. You see, what the devil does, what the world does, what we do ourselves, is we overload the frame and try to carry more than what we carry. But then there's a frustration factor. Did you ever think about this? Elijah had done all he did. Withstood the drought, and God took care of him. And then he went up on that mountain. He's the only one. He's the only one. Must have been on a Wednesday night. And he went up on the mountain and he withstood, it looks like 850 prophets, one man. God answered by fire. They had a good service. The Bible said the fire failed and then all the people failed. I mean, any evangelist would like to report that. And you would have thought that they were about to have the biggest revival that they had ever had. Nobody even shows up the next day. Him and his servants, the only ones there. There's no reports of revival breaking out in town. It didn't even make the first page of the Jerusalem Post. Nobody's saying anything about it. That had to be frustrating. You know, sometimes life can be frustrating. You're expecting one thing and it's something else. I was talking to Brother Briley. Of course, he preached out there at the Morrison Park campground. And he made this statement, preaching, and I could identify with it. He said, when I was praying for this meeting, in my mind I could see how it was going to look. But he said, it don't look like this tonight. I knew what he's talking about. In his mind, he's seen every what it would hold out there. He's seen every seat full. He's seen people standing out there at the edge. But that wasn't the reality of it. And I could identify with him because when I first started preaching, I'd get an opportunity to go somewhere and preach. And I'd get up in the building and pray for hours on end. And I would pray and seek God. And in my mind, I could see a Billy Graham type sitting. And I could see when we sung Just As I Am, thousands coming down to get saved. And I get there and I'm the only one there. And about 10 minutes later, somebody else shows up. And I preach and it's very, very frustrating. And that frustrating can lead to fatigue. And that fatigue, it can overwhelm you. I probably shouldn't even tell this. It has no spiritual benefit whatsoever. But since most people are carnal, I'll tell it anyway. I think it was it Thursday night I come in. I usually set up to about 11 or 12 until I get so sleepy I can't set up no more. And I went in and I went to sleep. And I had, you say, a nightmare. It was worse than that. It was probably the worst nightmare I ever had in my whole life. And I found myself preaching in Scottsville, Kentucky at a Pentecostal church. I drove there. I got there. And the building was completely full. And I began to preach. I have to say the preaching was good. I began to preach and my Bible was gone. I reached back, my billfold was gone. And I looked down and there was a groundhog at the bottom of the pulpit and it kept coming out snapping at me. And I looked up and one by one they began to leave until there was only two people there. And I turned to the man and he said, preacher, I hate they stole your Bible. I hate they stole your billfold. I hate they all left, but I really hate they stole your car. I said, you have to get me back to Glasgow. He said, I don't drive. So at that moment, the Lord let me wake up, thank God. And He didn't let me go back to sleep, thank God. And I got up at 4 o'clock and sat on the couch. And about 6 o'clock, Max Helen come through by the couch there. And she said, are you all right? I said, well, I had a nightmare. And she said, was it about me? She's thinking of having me replaced, but you know, that's the first thought. Was it about me? And I said, the only thing it was about you is that you left before I got done preaching, and I couldn't get a hold of you to come and pick me up, and I had to walk from Glasgow to Scottsville. Overwhelming. Amen. You say, why? It didn't have, I don't think it had anything to do with what I ate that night. Because I didn't eat anything except two bowls of cabbage soup and two ham and cheese sandwiches and a couple of donuts. I don't think it had anything to do with what I had to eat. But it was overwhelming. Frustration factor. But then there was a forgetting factor. You say, what do you mean? I mean, 3 years, birds coming in, bringing Big Macs and fish and chips, brook running, ice cold mountain stream like you pay a dollar a bottle full of water. Little old widow fixed him the best cornbread patty he'd ever eat. God filled her barrel up day by day. He went up on the mountain. Won against 850 and he won. That all just happened the day before. And he's scared of Jezebel. He's scared of a message sent by one wicked, godless, ungodly woman. And can I tell you that what she prophesied over him backfired and happened to her. The dogs came and eat her up till all that was left was her hands and her skull. Amen. But he forgot all that. Isn't that the way with you and me? We forget Cherubeth. We forget Zarephath. We forget Carmel. It don't take us long to forget what God did. Not that long ago. If the devil can make us forget it, he can cause us to be overwhelmed. Now, let me give you this. Look in verse 4, 1 Kings 19:4. Elijah said, I am not better than my fathers. After the famine and the food and the fire, Elijah must have felt like he was a little better than his fathers. Fathers wouldn't fed with birds like that. His fathers didn't call fire down from heaven. His fathers had not felt, no doubt, the way he felt. And it seems like he might have thought, I'm a little better than this. This ain't going to happen to me. You and I are part of the human race. And even though things happen to them, the same things can happen to us. And the problem is when we get to thinking, I pray enough, I'm a good Christian, I go to church enough, I'm faithful enough, I witness enough, I give enough, and it's enough. These things ain't going to happen to me. And so when we get that mindset, when it does happen, it's overwhelming. Because we never expected it to happen. But the difference is with the world, as Scott taught this morning, with the world, they caused it to happen. But with us, God allowed it to happen. And with the world, all things work together for bad. But with us, all things work together for good. Amen. With the world, they chose their path. With us, the Lord orders our steps. almost re-preached what I taught Wednesday night this morning because we only had like 15 people here in the auditorium service because we've had a lot of folks sick, some in the hospital, this, that, and the other. And I told Caleb the other day, I said, it seems like our three times a week regular people, I said, it seemed like the devil's just picking them off one by one. And so what happens when them regular people start getting sick or picked off or down or in the hospital? You irregular. People got to step up. When them people's that seat's always full can't be full because of what's going on in their life right now, you need to step up and take their seat. You say, why? Because our church is important and we love our church. And we want to see every service full. We're never satisfied with empty seats. So, whenever this happens, when this happened and he got overwhelmed, there was a self-revelation. You say, what was the revelation? Number one, he recognized his weakness. He said, I'm no better than my fathers. And he recognized he's a man like everybody else. He recognized his weakness. I've got a weight limit too. I can only take so much. Let me tell you something. It's a blessing whenever he allows me and allows you to recognize our weakness. Because Paul, as strong as preacher as he was and prayer as he was, and Paul, as strong as he was on Mars Hill, and Paul, as strong as he was through political, standing before Felix and gripping all them, he was never any stronger than in the verse that Gunner quoted this morning. He said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You say, why? Because when I realize my weakness, I grab a hold of somebody stronger. Amen? So he recognized his weakness. Let me say this. He recognized his wrongness. You say, where was he wrong at? Verse 3, he left his servant. Only help he had, only one to stand with him. And he left him. He should have took him with him. You see, Brother Lance, when we get overwhelmed, sometimes we leave the only friend we got, Jesus. We leave church. We leave prayer. We leave off the Bible reading. You see, that's wrong. Because we never needed to help more than when we're overwhelmed. Let me give you this. I'm done. Man, I'm doing good. It's 2 minutes to 12. The Methodists will be proud of me. His wish was refused. He said in verse 4, take away my life! Take me away. Take me away. You see, we fail to realize sometimes that when it comes to prayer, no is an answer. Sometimes we think if it's not a yes, God didn't hear, God didn't do anything, God didn't answer. But no is also an answer. And Elijah prayed and he said, Lord, somebody said he was suicidal. No, he wouldn't. He didn't try to kill himself. He just wanted God to kill him. He wasn't suicidal. But he said, Lord, take away my life. But God said, no. No. You got a few more things to go through. So God says, sleep a little more. God said, eat a little more. God says, talk to me a little more. Get rid of some of this. And you're fixing to be overwhelmed, but not with life, with eternal life. In a few chapters, God sent chariots of fire and horses of fire, got that old man of God, and took him home to the glory world. Isn't that good? I plan on for several weeks preaching on this subject of overwhelmed. But that's just a little introduction of the first part. I desire to help my people. I don't desire to hurt my people. One thing you realize after pastoring 43 years is folks have a hard time. Life's hard. Death comes, sickness comes, divorces come, financial reimbursements come, nursing homes come, hospitals come. And I didn't come this morning to beat you over the head. I come this morning to help you with your overwhelmedness. God loves you. Say, how you know He did? I said a minute ago, I almost re-preached what I re-preached Wednesday night this morning. You say, what'd you preach? I preached out of Mark 6 on how to make your storm worse. We're all going to have storms, but if we're not careful, we'll make them worse than what they are. We'll let them overwhelm us. Let me say this for the sake of those that might be here this morning. Brother Mike, you come on, Sister Diane. And maybe you're not saved. I didn't preach on hell this morning. I didn't preach on being lost. But I promise you this, the most overwhelmed anybody will ever be is when they become like that man in Luke 16 and verse 24 when it said, in hell he opened his eyes. No overwhelming like that. But Christ Jesus, He loves you. You say, how'd you know that? He died for you, didn't He? Couldn't love nobody no more than to die for Him. And this morning, He'll save you this morning. So that you won't ever have to be overwhelmed by hell. Let's stand, if you would, please, just before Brother Mike gives us the number. We begin to sing. 380, every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I wonder this morning, how many would be honest? Don't do it unless you're honest. But how many this morning say, preacher, I sure appreciate this word on being overwhelmed. Yeah, that's what I thought so. 50, 60 hands all over the building. Folks overwhelmed. Father, thank You this morning for the Word of God, and it certainly is.